Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast, where you can expect cutting-edge information and strategies relating to success mindset, leadership, wealth creation, and relationships, all based in universal law and David Nagel's own experience as he rose from minimum wage forklift driver to multi-million dollar business owner. So, let's go.
Hey everybody, this is David Nagel. Welcome to this episode of the Successful Mind Podcast. And today we have a special treat in our second part of our gratitude series. I was having a conversation with my wonderful, talented CEO, Steph Tuss. And I said, you know, that's think it'd be pretty cool if you interviewed me on this. And she, because she wanted to be involved in it also. So what we're going to do is we're going to do this one interview style. And so without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Steph and let's see where she takes me.
Thanks, David. And hi, everybody. Yeah, I wanted to be a part of this episode in general because, you know, I've been in your sphere for over 10 years now. I started off as a coach with you, it turned into working with you in many different capacities, and now obviously I'm CEO. And during that whole time, I've always been really amazed at your ability to forgive. And some of the stories that you tell about what you've had to deal with and what you've overcome in your life. And where most people would have gone deep into resentment and vindictiveness, you actually went the other way. So I wanted the opportunity to interview you and share with our listeners kind of a story that you touch on a little bit here and there. But to me, when you know, I heard that we were doing an episode on forgiveness, I immediately thought of this situation. So, you know, back when you were first starting the business and you were working with Bob Proctor, you actually experienced something that would have leveled most people. And I know there are some people who would have, you know, possibly run away or committed suicide or done something to escape the scenario. And that scenario was you had $5 million embezzled from your company.
Yeah.
Will you just tell everybody that story?
Yeah. So this is about, well, actually, when it started, I went into a partnership with a couple of people about three and a half years into the startup of the business. And I was really excited about being in partnership with these folks. So, of course, when you go into partnership, you have a contract, and it wasn't a long, lengthy contract. It didn't seem overly complicated. And I thought to myself, I don't need to pay my attorney to read this contract. I can, smart enough, I could read it myself. And I read it, and what I was not taking into consideration was a couple of things. I'm not an attorney. I'm not really reading it objectively. I'm reading it from the fact that I was really excited about going into business with these folks. And so I didn't. I just signed the contract and away we went. And it was extraordinarily lucrative in a very short period of time. One day I called up to have a check sent to my bank account, and I was told there was no money. And I thought it was a joke. And I said, okay, quit screwing with me, right? And they said, no, you need to talk to so-and-so, which was actually one of the partners. I was talking to a secretary or something who was in charge of cutting the check. She said, no, David, you need to talk to so-and-so. So I get on the phone with this person. He says, yeah, I spent it. I said, you did what? And he said, I spent it. And it's not really important what he spent it on. I knew what he spent it on. And he asked me not to tell the other partner, which I thought was very interesting. So I immediately called up the other partner and I asked them what was going on. He didn't know anything about it. He said, let me call you back. Called me back. He confirmed that the money was, in fact, gone. And there was a clause in the contract where I wasn't really paid. So what we did was, part of that contract stuff was that we merge our lists together. But the contract stated that if for any reason the company was to dissolve or become defunct, they owned the list. and that I would be forbidden from contacting that list. So not only did I lose 5 million, I lost the list that I built for 3.5-4 years on my own. That was my list. I completely did not read that. Like, my mind just did not even see that in the contract. And probably from the, you know, probably innocently enough from the position of that I would have never thought in a million years that something like that would have happened. It just didn't, it never even entered my mind. And you wake up one day and you think everything's great and you find out that everything has just completely fallen apart. So I had the bills that went along with earning that kind of money. I had taxes that had to be paid. There was a lot that had to go with it, and I had seemingly no ability to make any money at that point. Like, everything came to a screeching halt.
Because you lost access to that list.
The money's gone, and I lost access to the list. So the only money I had was whatever was in my own personal savings account. And at that time, I was also dumping a lot of money back into the business, so there wasn't a ton of money in there. There was enough for a little while, but, I mean, something needed to be done. And I remember for the first week, I was scared. I was hurt. I was angry. I was angry at them. I was angry at me for not seeing what was in the contract. And I went to an attorney, and I sat down with the attorney. The attorney looked into it, and he got back to me, and he said, "Oh, yeah, you're 100% right." He said, "We can take him to court." He said, "We'll win. No question we'll win." He said, "But here's what you're looking at." He said, "It's going to take 2 years before it goes to court." He said, "It'll cost you probably about $250,000 in order to do that. You will win the case. And you'll never see a dime of that money because it's already gone." He said, "And I'm an attorney," and this was not my personal attorney. I actually sought somebody out who had a specialty in this kind of stuff. And he said to me, "I have no reason to tell you this because I make money on it whether you do or not." He said, "But you already know how to do this. Why waste 2 years of your life chasing something that you're not going to get? Out of anger and hurt and disappointment," he said, "just go rebuild it." And when he said that to me, I thought to myself, I just need to forgive this and let it go. Because if I don't, I am not going to be able to rebuild this. It needs to be something that I just need to release. So that's where I started. I started with the process of just forgiving the situation and them, and then focusing on what do I need to do now to turn this around.
I mean, it's so hard for me because the first thing that goes through my mind is this is so unfair, right? Like we grew up with this idea of fair, right? When life's not fair, let's be honest, right? This wasn't a fair situation, right? But it was cause and effect in a way. I mean, you know, the lessons learned are lessons that you've carried with you, you know, going forward. How did you what was the time frame between you finding this out and you being able to really get to a place where it wasn't going to negatively impact your ability to grow?
3 weeks, maybe, at the most, on the high end, I think. I considered, you know, when something like happened, the first week, I think I was in shock. Like, this thought runs around your head. Like and anybody who experiences some kind of a traumatic event, it's kind of like, how did this happen? How did this happen? Why did this happen? How did this happen? Why did this happen? And it's just like running through my head. And in the meantime, it's almost like you're not able to think straight or clearly or cognizantly of what's actually taking place. But as a couple of weeks started to pass and it became more clear, The first thing I had to do was to accept responsibility for my role in what happened. And when I was able to do that, which my mentor taught me, I mean, like you mentioned Bob in the beginning of this, that's one of the first things that man taught me. And I think that's why I was able to get there so much quicker, because I looked at it and I said, we ask this question all the time. Why are you choosing to have this experience, right? Mm-hmm. So it comes from a place of empowerment. It comes from a place of personal responsibility. And I said, okay, David, why are you choosing to have this experience? And I really sat down and I looked at it and I read the contract over and over again. And the attorney had asked me, like, didn't you have somebody read this contract and realize you were going to? And I was like, shut up. You know, like, no, I did not. And he's like, you saved $600 so they wouldn't read. I'm like, I know. I get it. I mean, it was a huge business lesson, but it was also a lesson in accepting responsibility for making a poor choice that had a significant consequence attached to it. And yeah, I felt like I wanted to kick myself for about a week or two. I mean, it was kind of like, I cannot believe I did that. Like, how stupid could I be? And then I was like, you know, look, there's a reason that this happened. And having dealt with business, working for other companies, I also knew, and I had learned and I had been studying, that everything that we go through from a tragic standpoint is so that there can be an even better outcome down the road. The problem is that most people just don't, neither they don't know that, or if they do know that, they have trouble seeing what is the good that comes out of this down the road.
Yeah.
I knew that was going to happen. When the attorney said to me, you already know how to do this, just rebuild it, I was pissed that with the idea that I had to go rebuild it. Like, I just spent 3 years busting my rear end to do this, to really build this up, and I have to start all over again. But once I accepted responsibility, once I got to the place where I'm like, I'm going to forgive this and let this go, their deal is their deal. This is my deal is my deal. And now how do I change this? I started, it was almost like it caused me to even think smarter than I was thinking before. So I was able to rebuild it and replace it really quickly. I mean, I was shocked at how fast I actually turned it around. And the part of it was necessity. It had to happen. It was like, you're either going to go bankrupt and shut the business down, and what's your option then? Go back to work? Like, that wasn't happening. I had already decided 5 years or 4 years prior to that, there's no way in hell that I'm going to ever go do that again. So, it was the initial learning of accept responsibility for everything that happens in your life and let it go, right? So Bob used to say, let go and let God. You know, it's one of the things they teach in 12 Steps. And it is one of the most freeing things because it's like everything comes disguised as good. God is good all the time.
Yeah, the sly disguises of opportunity,
That's Napoleon Hill, sly disguises of opportunity. This will lead to something better. There's a real reason that this happened, and it's for a good reason. It's not to punish you, even though it may have come out of a mistake that you made or an error in your judgment, which it definitely did. But the fact that I was able to move out of that, the idea of beating myself up from it and experiencing, you know, total guilt and shame and going down that rabbit hole, I was able to turn around quick.
What were some things that you did to turn it around? Like, I mean, you're sitting here, you have the tax bill that's associated with $5 million, which isn't like something you can just be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to write this small little check to the IRS. Like, how did you, what were some of the first things that you had to do to begin to rebuild this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there were two main things. One was I had all these bills that I had to pay, and I didn't have the income coming in, and I didn't have the resource to be able to go immediately to my list to create something, to sell something, to do coaching. I didn't have that ability, right? So I had to reestablish connections in order to get that up and running. So the first problem was, what do I do with all of this money that I owe? And I remember when I first started studying, like the very first self-improvement thing I did was listening to Tony Robbins' Personal Power Tapes. Yeah. And I remember in there, he told a story where he had $175,000 embezzlement a few years after he went into business, which had probably been the equivalent of what I did based on the time that he was in, started and the time that I started. So what I did was I got a hold of Tony and I talked with him. And he walked me through what I had to do to renegotiate my debt with the creditors. So he told me, he said, here's the deal. You get to determine what you pay, not them. He said, but you have to reach the right person in the company to negotiate that. I never knew that. Nobody ever taught me that. Right. And I was like, are you serious? He's like, oh, I'm dead serious. He said, here's how you have to do it. So he walked me through the steps of how to do that. And I personally picked up the phone until I got the right person. And I'm telling you, Steph, it wasn't easy because nobody wanted to let me get to that person. Their whole job is, let me get the money from that, from you first before the next creditor gets the money from you, right? So I had, sometimes the hung would hang up on me. They would try to shame me, guilt me. I had to keep calling and insisting that I talk to their supervisor till I got to the person that would negotiate. And I got all but one company to negotiate with me, which was perfectly fine because I could handle the one that didn't. And I even got the U.S. government to negotiate with me as far as my taxes went. And then by the end of that year, it was all paid off. So that's where I started with that, was renegotiating my debt. And here's something else that he taught me. He said, also do this. Leave yourself some money to go out to dinner once a week or take your wife to a movie or, you know, to have some fun in your life. Don't make this a miserable situation, right? You determine how much you're going to give them. And I was really surprised that when I renegotiated that with people, there were companies that said, look, we don't care if you send us $5, but if you commit to $5, then you send the $5. And if you can't send the $5, you call us and tell us you can't send the $5. But if you don't call us and tell us, then we're going to have a problem and we're coming after you. So I never not came up with the $5 or whatever it was that I negotiated. Yeah. Some of it was pretty low. Like, you know, there were payments that I had that were really substantial that I got lowered significantly just so that I could stay within a comfort zone that allowed me to then totally focus on earning money and not be focused on the debt. And one of the things that we teach in our programs is how to create like an orderly debt repayment program where people can do the same thing. They can go out there and, you know, and there's a lot of companies that have built a reputation on helping people reorganize their debt these days. But most people don't know that you could actually do it yourself.
So I imagine back at this time, I didn't know you at this time, so I don't know what your life was like, but I'm putting myself in your position, and you're the primary breadwinner in your family. Mm-hmm. So when this happened, there had to have been all manner of chaos going around you because it didn't just threaten your security, it threatened the security of the people that you were supporting and that were around you. How did you keep your head in a sane place to stay focused on what you needed to do and not get pulled into the you know, what was going on around you?
Well, like I said, it took a couple of weeks to get to that same place. I will admit the first week was rough. It was, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm scared. How did I get into this situation? It was just like a negative circle that was just constantly going around. But I think that it was once I got determined to pull out of it, and then I did something that I learned very early on that is, I think, just magical, and that is ask for help. So the first step was I was like, who do I know that had this experience? Mm-hmm. Tony, right? I didn't know him well, but I had met him several times, and I had his email address, and I was able to reach out to him, and he helped me. So the second thing was that I went and reached out to a personal friend, him and his wife. They had an extraordinarily large downline in a network marketing company. I had helped her break through the highest level ranks of that company where she was stuck for like 5 years, and I helped her do it in 2 months. And they were like eternally grateful for me for that. So they were like, if you ever need anything, just pick up the phone. And I was sitting there thinking, like, who do I know that I could call that could help me? And their name came up, and I phoned them, and I said, here's what happened. Can you help me? He said, name it. What do you need? I said, can you put on a seminar for me with 300 people in it? He said, done. How fast do you want to do it? And we did it like a month. And then I sold enough off that seminar alone and networked it so hard that I rebuilt everything in a year off of that, just asking that guy to help me. And he was like, I totally help. But you know, it's a funny thing. Everything when I look back, it gives me goosebumps to tell a story because it was all about how I went out and helped somebody first. And then when I needed help, there were people that were there. You know, otherwise, I don't know what I would have done. It would have taken a lot longer, and it would have been a little energy deflating, I think, if I had to go back and hit the streets again like I did when I first started. Because when I first started, I didn't even know what the hell I was doing. I would go knock on real estate doors and insurance company doors. I mean, just walk in and say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. Let me talk to your sales manager. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. And it was building relationships that got me to, you know, be able to talk in front of thousands and thousands of people. So those relationships came back around when I needed them, and those people helped me, and I'm eternally grateful for that.
So, you know, you talked a little bit about in the beginning that you learned some things about through this experience, right? That everything that happens to you is for your own good, whether or not you realize it in the moment or whether or not it feels good in the moment. What were some lessons, like some really great lessons that you even still carry with you today that you learned based on that experience?
Have your attorney read your contracts.
I know we say that to all of our clients.
Yes, right? You are not an attorney. I am not an attorney. The people that you're going in business with, unless you're an attorney, they're not attorneys. And then you still need an outside attorney. That was the number one lesson. Like, an attorney, you have an attorney for a reason, right? And they will save you a lot of trouble. So that was lesson number one. Like, there, you know, there are some things. Look, everybody has to run a business on a budget. Right. And that is not lack thinking. That's actually prosperity thinking. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get confused when I talk about that. They're like, well, if there's really prosperity and abundance out there, why do we have to have a budget? Right. Because math is math. That's why. It doesn't mean that you can't earn more. It just needs that you need to know how much is going out so you know how much to be bringing in. And to make those numbers balance. If you're always putting out more than you're bringing in, you're broke. So you're not really practicing abundance.
Right.
But a budget allows you to do that in your life. So where was I going with that? Where I was going with that is that the idea of not wanting to pay an attorney to do something, because that's really where it was coming from.
It's coming from lack.
It was coming from lack.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I don't remember what it was. It was $600, $1,200 or something like that to have him review a contract. I'm like, I don't need to pay him to do that. You know, I can save that money to do that. That was still coming from lack thinking. I mean, that was lack thinking that crept in, and the other real honest part about it was I didn't want somebody to tell me no. I didn't want somebody to look at the contract and say, have you considered these things? And then I had to go back to them and say, you know, I can agree to this, but I can't agree to that, and have them risk saying the deal's off the table.
Oh.
Because I really, really wanted to work with those people. And, you know, it was just the one person in the group that had an issue. The other one was totally fine. But he got burnt too. So actually, wow. A lot of people got burnt. But yeah. So that's I think that was the number one lesson. The number two lesson is that when you're committed, it doesn't matter what happens. You figure a way around it, through it, over it, under it, and that you ask for help. Those were the main lessons that I learned out of it. And to let it go. And to just let it go. I mean, when I look back at it today, it's a blessing. I mean, I don't have any regret about it, any remorse. I'm not angry at any of those people, not even the guy that took the money. I still know him to this day.
Have you spoken to him?
Like, oh, yes.
So when you say forgiveness, sure. Did you actually say to him, like,
no,
dude, I forgive you? Yeah.
Okay. I didn't feel it was necessary to have that conversation with him. There's personal things about that I'm not going to get into on this recording because it's not necessary. It's not anybody else's business but mm-hmm. ours. But I have spoken to him a few times since then. And it's very cordial. It's very friendly. The majority of the relationship that I had with this person was good. I think the reason that he did what he did was because he got into fear. I know. Mm-hmm. Right? So something personal happened in his life, and that's why he took the money. And it was based in fear. So I don't it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to go take this and throw a party or whatever. I really understand where he was coming from. I don't agree with his choice, obviously. but I do have an understanding, a much better understanding of why that happened than I did like the week that it happened, right? So, but I look back at it and it's a story that I've been telling now for 15 years, 12 years, something like that. And it's very important for people to understand that you're going to run into situations that you don't expect. Now, I'll tell you this, Steph. You've been around with me for 10 years. You've seen us go through some things that have popped up out of nowhere that could scare the shit out of someone.
Yes.
And we've been able to handle it cool, calm, and here's step one, step two, step three. So I think that that also, for me, came out of having that experience.
Yeah.
Right? And learning how do you navigate through a rough time. You know, it wasn't long after that we went into the worst recession the country's ever seen since the Depression, and we made more money than we did the year before.
Yes.
And we taught other people how to break out of that, because yes, I never lost my cool when that went down. Mm-hmm. And even when, I mean, sales stopped for us for about a month. It hit our industry a little bit later than it hit most of the country. Yeah. But when it hit us, it stopped, boom, like instant, the door was closed. Nobody was buying anything across the board. And then we figured out how to get it going again, and we started teaching everybody how to do it. And then, you know, all those companies were saved. So, but I was never scared through any of it.
So I have one last question. This question is really about, because, I mean, we see this in some, we see this destroying businesses left and right with, you know, a business owner getting wrapped up in a nasty estate battle. We see business owners getting wrapped up in someone copying their work and being focused on the resentment of that. You know, why do you think forgiveness is so key to your ability to grow?
I think it has to do with several things that are very important. You cannot hold resentment and be grateful at the same time. Gratitude keeps you connected with your source of supply. If you're in resentment or anger or judgment or bitterness or whatever, you're actually repelling the good that you want, and you're creating more of what it is that you don't want. So that's based on the law of vibration and the law of attraction, mm-hmm. Or the law of manifestation, whatever you want to call it. It's really cool to sit back and listen to somebody talk about that. It's really cool to think to yourself that that's the way that the universe works. But until you actually put it into practice, you're not going to experience it. And people have a habit where, so I call this, here's what I call it when I teach about this. It's a pre-excuse. So a lot of times when somebody's doing something that scares them, or they're not 100% sure that they're going to commit to it, they already have a pre-excuse written in their brain. And all they're doing is waiting for the right set of circumstances to show up for them to glom onto that excuse so that they didn't fail. I didn't fail. Mm-hmm. But if this failed because that happened, it's not my fault. So it's an abdicating responsibility in a different direction. And I think that being angry, being pissed, being resentful because of what somebody did and not letting that go gives a person the perfect excuse in their mind why they don't have to move forward, because somebody else did something or somebody else went wrong. That's my pre-excuse for quitting. But the idea is that you really come from the place of personal responsibility, because if you come from a place of personal responsibility, there's no place for an excuse. And then you can shift easily into gratitude, because you realize that based on the law of polarity, there has to be an equal and opposite good thing that comes out of this. Gratitude will allow you to see what that is. Resentment won't. So that's my advice for other people. That's what I try to practice. That's what has allowed me to get through tough times in my life. I can't tell you that I've always known what the blessing was on the other side till I got there. Mm-hmm. And I've been through some rough things in my life, you know, so it's really reminding myself of that. And it's something that I teach other people, that if you do this, you can make it through any tough time, because the solution to whatever problem you're having has to be there. simultaneously with the problem. They're actually connected. Where you're focused, excuse me, where you're focused determines on what you see or perceive. And what you see or perceive then becomes the option for what it is that you do. That's where we have the ability then to engage our choice in an actionable step in order to, you know, change it, make it different.
Amazing. Well, David, thank you so much for allowing me to be your interviewer today on this podcast on forgiveness. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. It was a lot of fun. And for all of you listeners out there, we're going to have one more part to this series. So make sure that you tune in for that because it's going to be just as exciting. Until then, we'll see you on the next episode of the Successful Mind Podcast. Take it easy. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned in today's episode. And while you're there, leave us a review. I read every one. You can connect with me on Instagram and Facebook as well, and those links can be found in the show notes. And check out my free gift for being an avid listener at davidnagel.com/start here. See you next week.